My name is Sheila Allen, and I've lived in the village of Great Totham, which is about 3 miles from Morden, since about 1979. And I became involved with this project on the year, I believe, at 1986, when a public meeting was called for all those who were interested in the forthcoming Morden Millennium. There had been a famous poem written about the Battle of Morden. And early that day, someone gave me a ring to say, "You're interested in a lot of sewing, embroidery, etc. Why don't you come along and I'll introduce you to some people?" The meeting in Morden was very interesting. It had great support nationally, locally. There was a historical interest, and then there were the projects or hopes for the future. The statue, the stained glass window, the music. And towards the end, I was introduced to three people. That was Sally Y, Keith Munyon, and I can't remember the others. But they said, "We were thinking of doing some sort of tapestry." And my reply to them was, "Well, of course, we're no longer ladies who sit in windows in pointed hats sewing." And that, of course, what they really were talking about wasn't really, or was it? Was it, could it be an embroidery? So I said, "Fine, I would like to be involved." And there went on from there a very small committee. And we discussed it again. And at the time, I was very much involved with the WI county level. I was at the time chairman of the home economics, which involved all the work, handwork and obviously food. And also on the Essex Handicraft Society. Now, the Essex Handicraft Society had come out of the arts and crafts movement prior to the war and brought together the absolute top craftspeople in Essex. So I had access to lots of people. And similarly in the WI, through their annual show, the embroidery, that side of things was of such a high caliber. So I found a lady and gave her a ring. She lived in Epping. Would she think about what you want to know? And she said, "Yes, fine." By this time, Humphrey Spender had come along and offered his services. Now, then comes, he was talking about £20,000 for doing this. And bearing in mind, he was a professional, and it would take a good year or so out of his work schedule. To me, this seemed not a very huge sum. So how do we raise this money? And we had an open day or open morning in the Jubilee Hall at the top of Market Hill in Morden. And I took a table and produced a display of Humphrey's work. He gave me wallpaper samples he designed. He also had been a photographer on the post during the war. There were things like that there. And I then came up with this marvellous idea of a panel that if we divide it up into like bricks, if we charged £1 a time, we could easily, by filling all the bricks, get eventually to this figure. So, fast forward. I then introduced Lee Cash, who was also on the executive on the Essex Handicraft, to be our embroidery expert, to be the consultant on that side of things. She was a professional embroideress. She worked for Watts, who are the ecclesiastical embroiderers, and they sit behind Westminster Abbey. I shall refer to that later on.
Can I ask a question here, Sheena? Mm. Was it difficult to get everybody's agreement to Humphrey's fee?
I really don't know. There was obviously those in that sort of world would know that was not a high sum, but you have to remember, of course, that was late 80s when we were in, you know, the country was, you know, finding it difficult. However, I suppose this is the time to say that Danbury Developments offered the money, which was taken.
Wonderful.
For that.
They offered the whole amount.
The whole amount. So having introduced Lee to Humphrey, they then got together. Now, he came up with cartoons, and it was decided that it would be a seven-panelled line, shall we say, of embroideries, and that they would take from one to the next, and where the edges touched, it would be like a continuous story. He had very, very clear ideas about what he wanted to do and what he didn't want to do. And in regard to not wanting to do, he purposely didn't go and view any of the famous embroideries. The one in France was a very good one, the Overlord one, etc. Although he did use the form of having a border, he, being a designer and very clear on colours and the colour wheel, he decided that he wanted to have plain, bright colours, and the story would be told in a form of motifs. And the two bottom and top borders would depict things, be it fauna, be it stone, be it animals, whatever, that would have been around at that time in history. So, again, Lee then, between them, decided that they would make it of cotton. Now, Humphrey did shade light tests, because obviously you want something of this nature to last for as long as possible. He restricted it to, say, the cottons, and also then the embroidery, he wanted it to be as plain as possible as well. Therefore, there was going to be no flair for any embroideries. There would be just a few simple stitches attaching this to the background. The panels, how were these to be made? By this time, Andrew Fawcett was involved. He was a student at the time. And they made these panels very simply with struts holding in tension on the back. And it was plain weave canvas and then plain cotton on top. Then they came up with this marvellous idea of, because in the first, second panel, there was depicted the river running through it. And in order to get the idea of the mud, the landscape, layers of net were applied and the colours were laid one on top of each other, therefore giving this idea of a tidal plain. And then further through the panels, rainbows of colours depicting on the particular subject of each one would be used. So this would be obviously applied first onto the background. Having made the first cartoon, he and Lee got together, and his cartoons were then cut off each sheet and they became, we'll call them a motif. And Lee wanted to use the embroidery thread, the six stranded threads that we all know, because of the colour, the range of colours. And as with the colour wheel, anything that was applied always had the opposite colour around it. That's why it often stands out in colour. So Lee and I got together and we would use each cutout, and each person would be given a square, depending on the size of the item, plus all the threads and the iron-on backing that would be necessary. And we invited anybody who wanted to come along to view this first panel and choose an item that they thought that they would like to have a go at, be it something that might only take an hour or so, or a more ambitious large piece that would take many, many hours.
So it was Humphrey who had decided on the motifs?
He painted it all, yes. It's all his design. He'd done research with Andrew over all the various things that should be included. People were invited, actually, to, via the local newspaper, to say what they thought should be included so that nothing obvious was left out. Come the day, we had a morning, and these people would arrive and took down their names, addresses, and then we posted these little kits to them, and we also added a deadline. I think it was like 6 weeks hence. And all that was asked is that they transferred his design onto the background fabric. And then with other fabrics, if necessary, if there were blocks of colour, to use all the threads to paint the picture onto the fabric exactly as he had done in his painting, without any deviation. And it had to be exactly, and I mean exactly, the same size. And one thing that was very useful for lots of people is that they learnt how to use a light box as a form of reproducing something exactly.
Did you give instruction as to the type of stitch?
Yes.
Was that obvious?
Yeah, no, we gave instruction. In the main, it was stem stitch, a little chain stitch, some long and short stitch. Rarely, I think there's only a few knots. That's more or less it. Because for the larger pieces, when you look up close, it's a series of, as if you were penciling a sketch. People have put the same size thread, coloured thread, where he has put a coloured line. By this time, Lee lived, I have to tell you, in the most divine cottage out in Hanningfield. Her cottage had been actually depicted on a Marks and Spencer's chocolate tin. It was so exquisite, and the views out from the upstairs bedroom down across to Hyde Hall were just to die for. Anyway, Lee and I set up the first, having got the first panel up, one of her bedrooms, it was set up in the middle, in between two beds. And the individual motifs were starting to pour into Lee's house. And I have to tell you as well, at this time, of course, Lee, at her own home, was doing her own professional work. So for me, seeing in her downstairs room, she was working on items like an altar frontal from Windsor Castle, a bishop's cope. She made all the banners for the companies at one of the church on London Wall. She was a very, very clever lady. and very, very generous with her talents. I can remember Lee saying, go on, you do it. So I cut out the first piece. So you have to imagine there's a fairly decent sized piece of material, and in the middle would be the item that the person has embroidered. And we then were going to cut around the edge of this up to about an eighth of an inch, and then lining it up with the original cartoon, apply it to the background. So having placed it, I would neatly hem round this, and then each piece was couched. This is an embroidery term that you will see if you go to especially Victorian churches, where a length of thick thread, that might be six, say, threads together, will be held against the edge of the piece, covering the raw edge, and then a single thread would come up close to that edge again and back in at right angles, making like a little pinched edge. And so right up until the last minute, there was always someone who actually came along on the last morning. We did have a laugh over that. And on the first, especially that first one, we did have a few that did cause us some headaches because we couldn't fit them into the piece that they were designated. And of course, because people had chosen their pieces, a lot of the large items, large designs, were divided up where two, three, four people would be supplying pieces that all had to interlock together. Certainly on that first panel, I did get first choice, and I did the bow of the Viking ship, which was absolutely delightful. And again, I was given a piece of material that was an ochre colour, because that seemed to be quite prominent on the piece. And the following the lines of the ship's wooden frame, there was turquoise, this colour. But in the end, the whole piece was covered in embroidery, and I did close set lines of stem stitch next to each other to cover that. Someone later came along who'd made the top knot, top of the Viking ship there, that was in sort of a silver. And by then, we started to see the little gem.
Sheila, it was obviously a very exacting standard that the embroiderers had to attain. I mean, this was a very, very special thing that they were doing.
I think at the time, I don't think we realised that. yes, it was exacting, but not to put a, you know, someone who would wanted to have a go. Mm. They weren't put off. And there were lots of small items that people could do, as well as the more interesting, larger motifs. So we've got as far as talking about that first panel, and gradually myself, because I have to say, I cut out every single motif on every single panel.
Did you?
I did, because once I'd done it, they said, it's up to you, because, you know, wow. Heart in mouth.
What a responsibility.
Yeah. And also by this time, that Humphrey and Andrew were coming up with this idea of the gold leather stripe, the border against the main frame, that needed to be just setting it off. And if I'm right, I think they had maroon leather, which they applied gold to. So it gave it that inner sort of warmth of colour. And when you think now of all the paint and shabby chic, etc. You know, colours underneath gold and others, it all makes great sense. And it was at this time, because Lee was sort of helping to apply the Ed, we started looking at who we might ask actually to apply the leather. We just didn't want anybody to do it. And it was through this, over that first year, that we got together what eventually became the Thursday Ladies. And the Thursday Ladies were those of us in that six who would come when they could to Lee's house to help apply each piece for as little or as much. And within that group, there was a smaller group who actually applied the leather.
Can you explain again precisely where the leather was?
Right.
Thank you.
What I haven't mentioned, of course, is with all embroideries, they can only be 26 inches wide. All embroideries can only be 26 inches wide because if you put your needle into the middle, you'll find that that is as far as your arm will go from your elbow, 13 inches. And within that 26 inches, the border was 2.5 inches and the leather strip was on the edge of the 2.5, coming out towards the edge. So we're talking about a 2 inch and then a 1/2 inch and then the rest. So that's how that was depicted. Also at this time, Lee gave me a house key, which I held for over 3 years. And she had 4 dachshunds.
Yeah.
Dachshunds. One of whom was a male, a very dominant male called Charlie, who was quite a character. And most of the girls or women who came used to think, oh, I don't know, because he'd nip people's heels. He was a little devil. However, for some reason, I was all right. I used to get on my hands and knees by the door and say, hello, Charlie, are you there? Let me in. Anyway, and he can be seen depicted on the final panel because he was very much part of the whole thing. So we then moved on to panel 2, which had some of the most intricate designs. And by that I mean where, again, more than one person was sending in work that had to fit in with other people's work. And whereas the first panel, myself and Lee were doing most of the time, by panel 2, we started having more people regularly coming. And Wendy Wood, who was one of the best embroiderers.
It's Wendy Munyon.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Wendy Munyon. Yeah. She became part of our Thursday group. One of the other ladies, I ought to tell you about the six, was a lady called Peggy Jennings, whose son happens to be Alex Jennings, the famous actor. And in those days, he was not long out of college, he was just starting with the Royal Shakespeare. But Peggy was an exquisite embroideress. She'd written some books and she was very much involved with Essex WI. She'd been a county chairman and a very, very talented lady who you could learn a lot from. One of the other ladies who had come from up north, she had worked, she was the only professional working for a company. She had worked making badges for armies and, you know, what would you call that, sort of ceremonial badges. And she gave us one or two tricks of the trade, how, you know, flour and water on the back, applied to the back of threads. That's to make it stiff, to hold it. That's why if you look on the back of often older badges, that's how they looked, Whereas today, of course, they're done by machines, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Wendy, so that's three, myself. Another lady who's moved right away, she was very much in Essex handicraft, very, very clever embroideress. It was a really charming afternoon to sit and chat while we worked on the panels. By panel three, I can say we'd settled down and we knew we had got a nice long list of ladies who were sending back work that was of a good standard. I say ladies because we did have one man who applied to do a piece, but unfortunately he sent it back because he said he hadn't got enough time to finish it, which was a shame. However, as mentioned, these pieces by now were coming back and we weren't really experiencing too many problems. That is, that we would have to doctor any pieces. And over the seven panels, that was quite a rare occurrence. Yes, there was the day when someone brought in hours of work only to say, I think this is too big, which must have been heartbreaking, but said, if you've got some more of that material, I'll make one that will fit. But it only goes to show that by keeping to what we asked, that is an exact copy of his cartoon, could we be sure that it would fit together? Yes, as I said earlier, we had high standards, but that was only insofar that we asked that things came back precise. It had to be no 8th, no 16th, because it all multiplies up. At the beginning, I also referred to the fact that it was only 26 inches wide, and that was what I said to the original people who we met in Malden, that of course we were no longer ladies with pointy hats sitting by open windows doing tapestries. And another point, of course, is that they often had children below the canvas to pull the threads through. So as the couple of years went by, it actually went together extremely well. We got in a good rhythm. Humphrey and Andrew would stretch the canvas and lay down all the nets. From his cartoon, I knew exactly where every piece was to be applied and its relationship to its neighbour. And then as the pieces came in, I could cut them out and we could then have them ready for someone then to hem round and then couch round.
And what particular motives did you work on, Sheila, yourself?
Right, I mentioned,
some of them.
Some of them. I did do a piece on every single panel. So I've mentioned the Viking ship. Towards the end, I did the Victorian ladies in their Victorian clothes that depicted Victorian evenings in Malden. On one of the nautical panels, I did a set of gears and the front of a boat by the river that was particularly difficult because the gears beside the boat had got notched edges. And again, we have this problem of background fabric with fabric on top that has to have raw edges covered. And in the end, I decided that rather than try and cut out notches, that in fact this was done with the embroidery straight onto the background. And this happened in quite a few places, that where especially buildings were laid down and people brought along, say, stained glass windows, you would have to then cover those edges. And so it went on. But we found ways of embroidering through the whole piece to put it all together. One of the biggest sections was the depiction of the stairs, the brick spiral staircase in the Moot Hall. This was done by three people, and so the three pieces had to come back and be set together along a middle sort of column, and it was just not quite fitting. However, rather than the six strands, I managed to get it going with 12. But when you look at it, it looks natural, that it should have been a thick line, that one. So, and once on, again, this problem of raw edges, of how to make it look like it was meant to be, extra embroidery on top. And when it was finally finished and we'd all hung up our needles, it was to be found in the Moot Hall, which was lovely because, A, it's another historical building in Morden that we should be proud of, with the unusual items that are within that building. But of course, it was dark, which of course, for any work of this nature, would help keep it and its colours. And then, of course, finally, it's moved to the Meldoun Heritage Centre, where it's on display most of the week. And again, it looks fantastic. It looks as good as when it was first finished. And we then created a panel where everyone was sent a brick and asked just to write their name and embroider their name on it, and it was applied as a historical part of all those who took part.
So every one of the embroiderers?
Not everyone, but most of the people did, yes. I had very few. I think there might have been the odd one or two.
Sheila, you must be incredibly proud of what you did.
I was.
Fantastic achievement. I was. Looking back over those years, what comes to mind?
Well, first of all, having that phone call out of the blue, of seeing the rather downing of local attitude about what we could or couldn't do, but then to pick up on a project that those who were really, from Humphrey Spender, who was an amazing person and designer, whose colours are just, his understanding of colours is just, again, beyond anything, what I think anyway, of being allowed by Lee to have access to her house and to see each panel grow, and being with the girls on a Thursday, it's really something to look forward to. I never felt, oh gosh, I've got to go there, because it was all obviously, you know, we could do what we so wished. And then finally, when it was all over, oh dear, no Thursdays. But like Wendy Wood Munyon, I did take out a talk and was asked on many, many, many times, mainly in the WI and the Embroiderers Guild, to do talks on the embroidery, depending on their interests, to hone the talk towards their interests, the techniques, and with slides, obviously, you can explain the pitfalls and the ways that you might well do that.
Well, I think it was a superb, a wonderful achievement.